Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Text message. Andy Reid is the employee that hovers over a box of donuts in the break room, puts his hands together and says, "Don't mind if I do." That visual is very funny.
Also, somebody that's on the ball. I've been up since 1 a.m. I'm not on the ball. I had talked about how Bill Belichick was 66 when he won his last Super Bowl. And then 30 seconds later, I was like, I think Tom Coughlin was the oldest. He won it at 65. So
it happens.
You need to catch that immediately,
it happens,
by the way.
Yeah.
I blame you for that. Now, I don't blame myself.
Just like
I don't blame myself for not seeking medical attention for my daughter. I don't blame myself for my own mental errors in simple arithmetic.
My fault. 1 o'clock in the morning, huh? So your sleep is jacked up right now.
I took a long nap yesterday like a moron.
Okay.
I didn't intend to. I laid down on the couch and then I'm going to blame Brandy for this one. Brandy, what the hell? How'd you let me nap for 3 hours? Even though if you tried to stop me from napping, I would have angrily.
You may have some taking ownership issues, Seth, that we need to work through here. So Clint Capela is on the trade block, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. The trade deadline, by the way, is Thursday afternoon. I want to say 3 o'clock Eastern time. Sometime in the middle of the afternoon on Thursday is when the NBA trade deadline is, a little earlier than it used to be. It used to be around or after the All-Star game, but they moved it up. The Rockets, in case you're wondering, to me, the most interesting Rocket number regarding Clint Capela is their record with him in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And I say interesting. I don't know if it's totally indicative of the quality of the team or the team's ability to compete in the postseason, but it is worth noting they are 22-17 with Capela in the lineup. They are 9-1 this season without Capela in the lineup. Some of those games have been recently playing with a small ball lineup that's probably not a sustainable postseason thing.
And it's also, when you're talking about sample size of 10, you say, oh, they're 9-1 without Capela. Some of that includes, okay, when Harden started getting back to where he is versus earlier on in the season, Harden was going through his slump, or in the season, I'd say like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
4 weeks ago. Then even earlier in the season when Westbrook wasn't playing well.
Right.
So I don't think that tells the whole story.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You had a strange paragraph that you were talking about regarding the small ball line. We'll talk about potential trade partners for Capela here in a second. And the main question I want to answer is, are they a better team without Clint Capela? But you pointed out during the break, you're like, I got a weird paragraph.
Well, I've got a really weird paragraph from this Kelly Eichel article. It's a very good article in The Athletic. It's really long, and it talks about all the different kind of factors going into play here and how sustainable it is to play with a small ball lineup. But Kelly says, the players refer to it as super small ball, with Tucker at center and House at power forward. The tallest player on the court is barely 6'6". The league hasn't seen a lineup like this in 40 years. So, okay, that's nothing weird about that. It's a really small, it's not just small ball, it's incredibly small ball.
Even smaller than the lineup of death for the Warriors.
So this is what he says, it's a far cry from the death lineups the Warriors rolled out. Those groups had considerable size. So he's saying that the Rockets are all 6'6", okay, or less. So he says this about the death lineup. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Andre Iguodala are all 6'6", but basketball isn't played without shoes. Those jump to 6'7" and 6'8", and all of those have relatively long wingspans. So I'm like, wait a second. Did I miss something? Have House and Tucker been playing without shoes?
They've been playing barefoot. Like,
well, look, they're 6'6" in their stocking feet, whereas these Sean, this is why I couldn't go back to sleep at 1 a.m.
It's Kelly. So this is Kelly Eichel's.
I woke
so
up.
If we can back up for a second, your daughter's sublux kneecap that went unreported for a week is her fault.
It's her fault that she didn't complain enough.
You having some misspeak on age of coaches is my fault.
Yes, that's your fault.
Your sleep issues are Kelly Eichel's fault.
Yes, and my wife.
And your wife.
Because she wouldn't wake me up from a nap yesterday
when she should have. Okay.
So Kelly Eichel, which it's an otherwise great article, but I can't get over this. Like, What the hell are you talking about? They're 6'6", but you got to remember, with basketball shoes on, they're 6'7".
Seth,
like every other basketball player that plays in the NBA.
I don't know if you've looked closely, but what looks like shoes on the Rockets are actually slippers.
I know.
They're ballet slippers that look like Nikes.
Were the Warriors playing with some super pump disco shoes or something?
Know.
Was that the key to their success that we didn't even realize?
That is a weird paragraph. Yeah. You're 100% right.
In an otherwise very well-written article.
Oh, I like Kelly's work. He does a great job.
But I think probably the point he's making is that even at listed heights of 6'6", and they are all the accurate heights now. The NBA went back and made everybody use their accurate heights. That Iguodala, Thompson, and Draymond are still longer than House and Tucker, perhaps.
Yep.
You know, it's an extra half inch, but the wingspan, too, it's a larger lineup.
You've pointed out with respect to Capella, he's had to run a lot more this year. He's dealing with some plantar fascia right now. The pace for the Rockets in Chris Paul's final season was 27th. The pace they're playing this year with Russell Westbrook, a more up-tempo player whose game is predicated on attacking the basket and getting to the rim and transition, their pace is second in the league. So that may have something to do with Clint Capella being banged up. It certainly has something to do, if he were to continue with the Rockets, on his ability to come back from that. The three trade partners, the two that have been mentioned by Adrian Wojnarowski, are Atlanta and Boston. The Big Lead put an article up where it mentioned three potential trade destinations: Atlanta, Boston, and they threw Cleveland into the mix. It sounds like, Seth, whatever the Rockets wind up doing, there's a really good chance that it may not just be these teams involved. There could be multiple teams involved in a deal.
Right, and especially because if you want to get a center back, I think the problem with this notion that somehow you're going to move forward with this playing in this incredibly small lineup is this is a classic scenario that looks good in the regular season when you're stacking up wins. And part of it is when you're playing so small, it's kind of like running the run and shoot. You got all this weaponry all over the place, and anybody can drive at any point, and you can penetrate and kick out. You can do all this stuff and move around, and you create these mismatches, especially if the other team is playing large. You're going to miss out on rebounding, but you make up with some of that with turnovers and hustle and all that other good stuff and just flat-out offense. It's just a whole different deal when you get to the playoffs, and if all of a sudden you try to go out there against a good team with a good defense that can rebound really well, they start to get a bead on. That's where basketball, more than any other sport, man, you just start to get into a rhythm over the course of a seven-game series. And
yes,
I think teams are going to feel the rhythm of this small ball lineup, and you're just not going to be able to sustain that same kind of ambush ability that you do right now.
Two variables get removed in the postseason. One is just playing a different opponent every night.
Yeah.
The second one is back-to-backs. So now everybody's rested. You're playing the same opponents.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the chess game, it becomes accentuated.
It's true. When you're playing small ball versus a team that's on a back-to-back on the road, you've got a big advantage. They're going to be a little concrete-footed as they're trying to adapt to everything.
According to one Western Conference executive in an article in CNBC, the Rockets are, quote, done with Capella. Now, the reason I bring this article up is the gist of the article, and I forgot to put the link in here, Seth, I apologize, but it's about teams looking to get under the luxury tax. And the Rockets are mentioned the most prominently in this article. That's sort of the elephant in the room with all of this Capella stuff, is that, yeah, they may be out on him as a player, but there's also reportedly motivation to get underneath the $132 million luxury tax threshold. The Rockets have a payroll right now of $140 million. So the luxury tax bill that they are looking at, if they stay with their current squad as is about almost $13 million.
I wonder. There, and that's, you know, obviously, I don't know if we're going to get any angry denials of this from Tillman Fertitta at some point about how he's not cheap and everything like we did last summer, remember? I think that part of it is that the Rockets changed style so drastically from one year to the next, and they've done this now a couple times. When Chris Paul got here, they went from being a fast, up-tempo team to one of the slowest-paced teams in the league. So for 2 years, these last two seasons, they're one of the slowest-paced teams in the league. And Capella was getting more and more minutes in that environment. And Kelly Iko, in his otherwise excellent article, talks about this. I feel like I don't want to pick on Kelly. It's
Did he bring
article.
Up the sneaker size of Clint Capella?
But then all of a sudden this year, when he's running up and down the court, which he's particularly well-suited to do as long as he's healthy, I don't know. I wonder if they just think that he's not going to be able to maintain health through the entire season. We've already seen that Capella, he has the excuse of that illness last year, but he also could have fought through that, and he didn't have to necessarily get whooped as badly as he did by Draymond Green and Kevon Looney. I mean, it's not just that he didn't compete, it's that he got thoroughly whooped. And illness or not, I think that when you start seeing him banged up this year, they probably worry about, all right, just what do we have in this guy at the end of the season?
I think some of this small lineup, too, let's not act like they're playing this small lineup right now because they go, oh, this is the way to go. In part, they're doing it because they don't have other tall guys that they can trust, either because Tyson Chandler's older or because they just, for whatever reason, Mike D'Antoni doesn't trust Isaiah Hartenstein. So they go with these small lineups more out of necessity, and that's what concerns me about moving Capella, Seth.
Yeah.
Is for the luxury tax be damned. I'm concerned they're not going to come out of this a better basketball team by
you're
moving
also,
Capella.
You're moving Capella, and look, Maury's running the show, so nothing like that doesn't change. That doesn't change likely. I mean, who knows? Who knows these days with China and whatnot?
Yeah.
Whatever happens with Maury at the end of the season. All the China stuff happened right at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Maybe the true repercussions from China come after the season when Fertitta could make a move without everybody blaming
sure.
it on him kowtowing to the Chinese.
Yep.
But there's also the question of, all right, this is D'Antoni's show right now. How's it going to look different next year? Are you going to bring in some coach next year that would have loved to have Clint Capella? Because, boy, what a waste that would have been.
Right.
Unless it's truly just all about the luxury tax.
No, yeah. Capella's contract is very reasonable,
yeah.
too, by the way.
I mean, which is why it's a nice trade piece,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. Hey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.